You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
us with your life.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, and hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you will get it done. That's right. We appreciate you for that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And, of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Hit that, and then a drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Hit that link, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, you can do the shortcut. You can just hit babaoshi.net. Hit babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And it's up to date, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ntaki Kamban. And that's followed by Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And I heard Elliot mention another program, so I got to get an updated list here, man. This thing is old. On Saturday, on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Fridays at 8. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. I would hope that during the Kwanzaa season that WeBuyBlack.com did well, particularly on Ujamaa. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be logical? Yeah, I hear you. Africa for the Africans. My good brother, Brother Bamani Tayemba. He's returning today from his trip to Ghana. They left December 24th. And they returned today. And I'm going to try to get him on the program again to speak about that trip and other upcoming trips. He has one coming up and going to Senegal and Gambia, April 1st through the 11th. April 1st through the 11th. And then going to Ghana again in May, May 24th to June 5th. And then to Tanzania, November 17th through the 28th. All these trips are $3,800, very affordable. And go to africafortheafricans.org because everything you need is on the website, all the information, the forms, the visas, the information about shots, and everything is right there. Also, too, brothers, if you want to see photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And he does update them. So I wouldn't be not be surprised if he has the Ghana trip. I know he has the Tanzania trip because I looked at those pictures just recently. So Africa for the Africans.
Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. It is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. The programs, of course, they have are Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, the Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that is still happening, ongoing in Ghana. Believe me, brothers and sisters, go to the website. You'll see the progress that has been made. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. In fact, if you are a member of the LEDGE Group, you can own an acre of land in Tanzania for $250. An acre of land in Tanzania. And of course, the LEDGE, they deal with the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six countries in on the continent, and they employ over 170 people. They have 260 members and more. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. All right. Abibi Atumi. Abibi Atumi. AbibiAtumi.com. Abibi Atumi. Yes. They have a program coming up this weekend. Abibi Atumi. Dealing with holistic health. And of course, if you know Abibi Atumi, they do great work. There's a website that you need to put a mark on, bibiatumi.com, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com, bibiatumi.com. And so, where's that information about the upcoming program? I know I saw that. Well, let me give it to you right quick. So, can't say I didn't tell you. I always try to make sure our people are informed, you know. So hopefully it'll come up here in a minute. I'm not sure why. You know, well, you know, a lot of times these things don't work as well as they should do. Is that right? You know that's right. So, well, I'll make sure that you have that information. So you can participate in that program if you want to online on Zoom call, because it's coming out of Ghana, so it's like 5 o'clock there and 1 o'clock here, I believe it is. So, all right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta on the West End, on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and Wadada's Healthy, delicious healthy food. Fruit drinks and smoothies and health drinks and pastries and soups and all kind of good stuff. On the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food that they sell. So that's what Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, my good sister, Mama Nia. She's doing good business. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, and a lot more. Mama Nia's phone call number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote, also to Shrine of the Black Madonna, they sell books. They got a bookstore there. But my good friend, Brother Gazemde Ajamu with the Black Cultural the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of here in Atlanta. And he has a coffee bar that sells delicious Cameroon boyo and other delicious teas and African teas and drinks. So give my good brother Gazemdi a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, because there is light in the Black Dot. I was giving a shout out now to Afroletics. He has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market is located in the Stonecrest area here, and that's east of even where the Black Dot is, east of there off of I-20. And the new Black Wall Street Market. I got a good friend there, Brother Sajafo, with his jewelry and artwork, and another brother from Milwaukee who has a CBD business. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's good business. And brother with athletics, it's a athletic wear with African themes. You know, the Rebels, the Omex, the Moors, the Heterus, the Zulus, you know, African themes. It's outstanding. Good apparel. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, Us Lifting Us. Brothers and sisters, they have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, at 9 p.m. It's an hour-long program. You can call to listen or to give questions, comments, and concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give our good brother, Brother Abijah, a call. His business is open from Tuesday through Sunday, at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. The Homeland, brother has it all up in that store, man. Artwork, furniture, books, even has a restaurant. Man, that's a one-stop shop, that's for sure. That is for sure. Akaban Institute. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Always like to support them and the great work that they are doing at Akaban Institute. Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. If you want to check out some of his books, go to akabanhouse.com. Akabanhouse.com. You want to check out some of his books. And, of course, you want to support Akaban Institute. You can do the old school, make a check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. Also, too, they have a training coming up on February 5th from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Identity. What does it mean to be African? A reconceptualization framework, That workshop is given by Baba Baruti for our men. What does it mean to be African? And, of course, you can register, make your donation, $10 for, and $5 for warriors in training for our young men. And you can use PayPal, and that's PayPal with the $Yah. His wife's name, $Yah. Baruti for PayPal. And make sure you put in your name and your email address so they can send you the link. Okay, and then Mama Yah has a program that same day later on in the afternoon. It's Embracing African Spirituality. Embracing African Spirituality from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Donation $10 and for adults and $5 for teens. Please register. And the same concept. Make your donation, $10 and $5. Payable to Cash App, $Yah, and Baruti. If you use PayPal, rather, instead of Cash App. Cash App, $Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti. If you use PayPal, there you go, Oshi. Yah Baruti at yahoo.com. Yah Baruti. To make sure, of course, to include information, Embracing African Spirituality, your name, and your email address. I'll be announcing those. Okay? All right. The Inye Sesim. The Inye Sesim of Daily. Oh, wait a minute. I apologize. I have two more announcements that I usually give. And one, of course, is the Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, they have booth 225, For more information, contact our good sister Shelly Amonsett. Shelly Amonsett at 404-434-7963. That's Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And, of course, my sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's been doing work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti with our beautiful children. Go to her website, please, at sonjay-haiti.org. That's Sonjay, sonjay-haiti.org. And look at the beautiful work they're doing with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship for those brothers and sisters. Because you know, in Haiti, they rely solely on people that happen, donations from the outside. They have no government programs, particularly when you look at what's happening in Port-au-Prince. So, Sonjay-Haiti. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. What I'm doing, I got two books. One that Dr. Baba Broody wrote a few years ago, and the one he had put out last year for Warriors. So I'm going to go back, bounce back and forth. I look at the dates and see which one is most relevant. Also, too, because I was gone for a minute, I'm going to look at some of the dates that I didn't get latter part of last year and bring forth some of those, which are just outstanding. January 4th. Only through the study and practice of African culture can there be a renewal of the African mind, readjustment of the African personality, realignment of the African character, and the mending of the African soul. There is a healing principle inherent in African culture. Let me repeat that. There is a healing principle inherent in African culture. Culture develops and evolves us. It defines us. It tells us who we are. Not only does it tell us who we are, but it tells us how we are to be. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Imhotep Asi Fatu. Communal society, the human way of life that we seek to bring back into existence, requires a natural, easy flow of honesty and trust. There must be earnest goodwill and prioritization of each other's health and well-being in order for it to again become our natural way. We know that if it is not what we are doing, then we are not striving to be African. It means that if we are not striving, then it's easier to understand when we are not knowledgeable about the opposite of who we are in trying to become. Being familiar with what we are not and to do not want to remain or become brings clarity. It helps demystify the natural vision of an African self. This is particularly true when who we are now appear to be has been or grossly obscured by our submersion in the culture and society of our opposites, our enemies. This is one of the most important fundamental pieces we need to claim personal responsibility for deciphering in this oppositional reality in order to begin to correctly mold our children into who they need to become in order to prepare them to assume frontline roles in a re-Africanization movement which spiritually returns us to communal society. Only after the spiritual changes does the physical adjust to our desires. Affirm, I study and practice African culture. Affirm, I study and practice African culture. January 5th. The key to self-defense against genocidal designs is knowledge of the intent of our enemy. Now I come to Del Jones. Enemies is a term which African warrior scholars need to remember when thinking about Europeans and other people who have proven their malicious intent relative to us. It can become instrumental in helping to frame our thinking in terms of our mission. At the same time, we have to think about how this term affects others in our community, not as knowledgeable of our story and our history. When you use the word enemy in reference to Europeans in conversation with Negroes or lost souls, they flinch, tense up, and instinctively feel repulsed by your utterance. They cannot conceptually conceive of Europeans in such terms. In their minds, the question becomes, how can the people who birthed you into civilization from barbarism, who nurtured you into a progressive conscious intelligence from a primitive ignorance, who so generously shared their sperm and blood with you, who gave you the gift of salvation, be the same people trying to destroy you? The concept of enemy cannot make sense to them. And until we fully comprehend the depth of this very basic menticidal confusion, they will remain a dangerous enigma to us. Once understood, Europeans become little more than frightened, reactive children we have to tolerate when we, as people, identify, confront, and neutralize our enemies. Affirm, I know my enemies. Affirm, I know my enemies. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, I'm excited today. I have a guest and program announcement and all kind of good stuff. I have another guest on Friday. On Friday, my guest will be Brother Muhammad Abdullah, a brother who has been on this program a few times. I'm looking forward to our conversation with Brother Muhammad. And but my day's guest, I'm really excited because he hasn't been on in a while. I'd say in quite a while. But he's an outstanding brother. The book he has written is Recapturing the African Mind. Recapturing the African Mind. And it's on point. The program that he's going to be on is this Saturday, Blog Talk Radio. I'm Blog Talk Radio. Once again, brothers and sisters, just go to Blog Talk Radio. American African Empowerment Saturday. American African Empowerment is at 2 p.m. Eastern, from 2 p.m. to 3:30. The number to call is 845-277-9250. That's 845-277-9250. That is going to be this Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. I think that is going to be every Saturday. Let me find out. Brother Bruce Bridges, Dr. Bruce Bridges, are you with me?
Yes, I am, my brother.
All right, can hear you very well. How are you today, man?
Oh, man, I'll be all right, I guess.
Okay,
I better be.
I know you better be, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, we better be. You know, we as people should have thought I'd lose you.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Brother Ocean?
I'm sorry, you broke up on me. What'd you say?
Okay, yeah, I'm back now. I hit a button with my hand.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, we as people get so used to, when people ask you how you doing, we get so used to hearing all right, and we expect that. And when you say something different, they kind of throws people off.
Most times when people actually
they really don't want to know. It's just a ritual that we go through, and
right,
we're doing it all, you know. So when you really tell them the truth, oh man, they get shocked.
and they really don't want to hear it.
That's right, because you'll feel like that you got to do something to help them out, or
exactly,
you know, make them better, you know?
Yep, you really don't want to hear it, but the bottom line is...
You're right, that's right, you don't want to hear it. Because I asked a sister one day, I said, how you doing? She said, hi. I said, on what? I said, you don't seem to be high. You seem sober. You know, we just say things,
yeah,
and really don't know what we're saying sometimes, you know?
Well, I mean, we're in a culture that is not ours, you know, that is not framed for us. And this culture, too, that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence is definitely antithetic to who we are as African people. This is not our way. We're not an individualistic people. We're a collective people. We're a holistic people. And yet, it's not happening for us. And it will not happen for us, not here. I want to talk about your book and talk about the program upcoming on Saturday and any other things that you want to talk about. We got a good amount of time. I'm glad you came on early So I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you. Haven't talked with you in a while on the program, Dr. Bridges.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I'm glad you got to me. I was just waiting till 12 o'clock. I just wanted to hear the program because, I didn't mind. But we had said 12, so I said I'll just listen. Go ahead and tune in until he gets to me. It's no problem. I was doing fine. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been on. Matter of fact, it's been since before the pandemic. Yeah, been over 2 years, huh?
Oh yes, yeah, definitely been before the pandemic. You know,
right? Yeah. Uh huh.
And the pandemic is interesting. Because of
it is.
How it's evolving.
You've been doing any programs on the pandemic?
Yes, I did. I've done a couple of programs, not very many. What I've done is basically stated to the people about the disease, what it is, how it is. I don't promote or either I don't say you should or should not get vaccinated. I'm not going to argue against it, but what I do say you should do is boost your immune system. What you should look at is methods whereby you can keep yourself safe. And of course, I've said, particularly while the pandemic was first ongoing, to put your mask on, keep your distance, wash your hands.
I'm still wearing mine.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, you know, definitely. Because, you know,
it's definitely not over.
Right, especially now that you've seen in the news these last few days with the Omicron variant, even though they just mentioned that it is not as deep as the Delta or the Alpha, the beginning of that, the beginning COVID virus that when it first came out. And then, of course, the next one happened. And I was like, man, that's some bad stuff, you know.
Yeah.
When Delta came out, that was some bad stuff. And it's continuing. And for those who are not vaccinated and for those who have compromised immune system, that's why I wear my mask, because my immune system is deeply compromised. I'm on oxygen.
Oh.
So I have a respiratory issue, you know. So I know.
I know Dr. Rogers told me that you had been under the weather and stuff, but you're still on oxygen right now, huh?
Yeah, because it's better for me now because I can, in fact, I don't have oxygen on right now.
Right, uh-huh.
But if I do something and I exert myself, you know, the oxygen level begins to depreciate quickly, you know. So that's why the main thing for me is just to shut up and chill out. Well, of course, can't shut up on a radio program, but realistically, I have to just be calm and cool, you know. But if I do need oxygen, I have it. I'm blessed in that sense. I have, an oxygen machine here that gives me oxygen consistently. I have a tank, and I'm going to get a portable oxygen machine whereby I will be able to be more mobile and get around, you know. And maybe, you know, put the oxygen on, I can walk. Because
Right. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. See, so that's my situation, you know. But I believe I'm going to, cause I've had this before, Dr. Bridges. I've had this before.
It's not, okay. Yeah. I didn't know you had it before. Okay.
Yeah, I had it before. I had it in 06 and 07. And I recovered my lung capacity and my maintaining of oxygen level in my system recovered, you know. So we'll see. I'll see how it goes, man. I'm praying that that's going to be the case, you know, that I will be able to cover it fully and get back to some
the
kind
ancestors
of
will pull you. The ancestors are going to pull you through.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I believe it. But also, too, for me, I know that there are some things I got to do and prepare myself and to change that I'm going to do because I don't want to experience this, you know, what I've gone through these last few months and the latter part of the last year. You know, I want to make sure that moving forward, I have, as for a 70-year-old man, as much optimum health as I can get, you know. And that's diet and it's sunlight. It's all kinds of good stuff that I need. So, yeah. Because I want to be here, man. I want to, because, you know, this ain't no damn sprint. This is a marathon. and you and all the other folks like us who try our best to work with our young people, to work with our friends and families, to recapture the African mind, you know, because that's
right.
That's why I love your book. I'm serious about it. It's on this desk here because that's what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Put something on the minds of our people. You know, that's why this program exists. This program exists. Our motto is, you know, well, what we say is that this is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's the bottom line. And so everything that we talk about here, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., is talking about how can we recapture and reclaim and restore the African mind. That's vitally important.
That's right. And just as you said, too, our independence that you're talking about, before we can actually become independent, to have independent schools and independent other kinds of institutions such as schools and businesses, that the mind has become independent first, because when you study and research thought, everything that you do is actually subsequent to a thought. Thought is first. Thought precedes action. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes when people say that they've, I didn't mean to do this, I didn't mean to do that, somehow that thought had to be in your mind or you mm-hmm. wouldn't have done it, you
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
So that's very important. So we have to become independent of mind first, and then it'll make a difference. And I've been, I look at, they memorialize Desmond Tutu the other day, and I thought about him, and then I thought about those Serena and Venus tennis sisters. And whenever I see them, and I mention this because it's kind of like newsworthy, because where I'm going with this, I noticed that, you know, whenever I see our people being interviewed or making comments, I always like to see something positive coming out of their mouths. And when I see the Williams sisters tennis or hear them, never anything conscious coming out of their mind.
No.
It's just a weak weak conversation all the time. When I see Donna Ross's daughter, Tracy Ellis Ross, mm-hmm. it's a weak conversation all the time. How she's doing her exercise or mm-hmm. what clothes she's worn on the ramp at the Oscar Awards or something like that. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it made me feel good. I say maybe the minds of people are changing. When I notice now that a lot of African American athletes, as you well know, they're starting to go back to historically black colleges and universities, and people are upset about that. Especially white people, and you know about the thing with Deion Jackson. You may have talked about you Coach Deion Jackson at Jackson State.
Deion Sanders, sure.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're right. You talked about that a little bit on the program, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I make mention of it.
Okay.
I didn't think too deeply on it, because unfortunately, many of the HCBUs, from an educational standpoint, are just mirrors of European schools. But the issue,
that's
though, that you're bringing
are.
Up.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But the issue that you're
and
bringing
sometimes
up.
Sometimes they even go further than the Europe. They go further than the Europeans go, you know?
Yeah. But the issue that you're bringing up
really
is the
more European.
Yeah, but the mm-hmm. issue that you're bringing up is the athletics. You know, two or three years ago, Super Bowl, they had a program to honor the men who played, who are in the Hall of Fame, who played at ACBUs, you know, Walter Payton and Jerry Rice, and all the cats from who have played prior to this past decade, all of them men played at black colleges because they couldn't play at these white colleges. But
mm-hmm.
but you see, the Caucasians realize in order for us to win, we got to get some black folks. So, because I'm old enough to remember when the Southeastern Conference, all his other conference, all of the whites had nobody. They had none. you know, and now Alabama, Georgia, that's all they have. They frontline pay. They may have some Caucasian on the team, but they all they frontline players are us. And that's why.
And the reason they have us is just what you just said. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. They want to win, and they cannot win without us.
That's right. They can't. Ain't no all-white teams in any sport, any major sport, and on a college level, even on a professional level, can win. You know?
That's right. That's they can't do it. And so when Deion made that statement, I was going back to what I was saying about the sisters and some of the other athletes and entertainers. It made me feel good to hear Deion take the strong stand that he said. You know what he said. You heard what he said, right?
No, I don't remember. But, I know what he did. That caused a lot of backlash.
Now just, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, just to recall the incident a little bit, since we just talking a little bit before we get into my book, but I noticed, too. But all this also has to do with our minds, so I'm going to tie all that in. You notice that when Deion was playing professional football, he funneled men or brothers that he knew coming out of high school, follow them back to his alma mater,
right,
which is
Florida
down
State.
In Florida. Florida State, I
right,
think.
Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then when he began to coach, he realized that he needed some of the same caliber of athletes that he was sending to the white schools. Mm-hmm. So that's what he started doing. And then the top athlete out in this country, you probably know his name, or some of your listeners may. I just can't think of it right,
right
now.
Right.
But the top football recruit that just came out, well, you know, he went to Florida first. And they took him around Florida and invited him to the campus and probably gave him some white girls and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's what they do with black athletes, to get them to come to these white schools. That's how they go there so much, because that's all they always want, a white girl. So the recruiter say, I hear you can get a white girl if you come here. So they say, when do I sign? this particular brother, though, went down to Florida, didn't go, and decided to go to Jackson State. And so Jackson State students and alumni burned Deion's jersey because they didn't like the fact that he pulled the top football recruit in the country to Jackson State University. And Deion made me feel real good when he responded to what happened. He said, "You don't own him." It made me think of the plantation. Mm-hmm. He said, "You don't own him." And so that was a strong statement to make, because white people do think that they own us, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they always have owned us.
That's
some
right.
people might say, well, they do own us. But Deion made the statement. He said, "No, you don't own him." And so it made me feel good that the brother went to a black college, and also, Deion made that statement. He didn't back up. He said, "You don't own him." And so and they know that when something happens initially, then that sets a precedent for it to continue doing the same thing, which means his brother went to a black college, then some of the other ones are going to go to black colleges, and that's going to take money away from the white schools and put money in the black schools, all those kinds of things, you see. And that's what it's all about. You know, when we begin to exert ourselves and to take a stand and to take our brands and not let them use our jersey numbers and our helmet numbers and all those kinds of things, and to hang up in the sporting goods store, and we get nothing, so it's time for a change.
Yeah.
So they're starting to think. Some of the brothers are really kind of starting to think a little bit, you know.
Well, I appreciate that, because I've been an advocate for students, particularly us, getting paid
because of
the athletics. The athletics, the NCAA, college athletics is a multi-billion dollar business, and the athletes get nothing. Oh, well, they get a scholarship. Well, they get free room and board. You know, they get a chance to get a degree from these universities. Many other athletes who go into these universities don't even graduate with a degree, because they're there to play football. They're there to play basketball. Those are the two main sports that generate money in the NC2A. In fact, those two sports generate so much money that they pay for all the other sports that don't generate money, you know, baseball and gymnastics and so forth. So they pay, you know, those two sports, but the athletes get nothing. And over the years that I've been arguing about this, things have come to light. Like when University of Connecticut, Shabazz Napier said, there's many times that I go to bed hungry, you know. And so then right away, the NC2A allowed for them to have some snacks or whatever, just some piecemeal stuff. And then, of course, just the most recent thing that now athletes can take advantage of their image and likeness. Because Chris Webber said when he dropped out of Michigan, he said, here I am, you know, that got nothing. And I go into the athletic place and there's my jersey with my name on it. $50-something. I can't afford to get it. I'm hungry, you know. They're constantly making big money. I mean, you know, that's why I hate Dabo Swinney of Clemson, because he was being interviewed and he was talking about the young people getting money, and he was adamant. He was demonstrative against it, while his ass had just at that time signed a $6 million contract. He is the highest paid person in the state of South Carolina. $6 million.
That's right. That's right.
But now he has a revenue stream. So not only did he get the $6 million contract from the state of South Carolina, but he also has a television program. He has other revenues, advertisements, endorsements. When the team signs an endorsement, say for instance it's Nike or Reebok, whoever it is, he gets that money. The kids have to wear it. They must wear it. They have no choice but to wear it. But he gets the money. So all of this money from Nick Saban and all, the only one I'm going to tell you, I don't like Calipari, but I got to give Calipari, the coach of Kentucky, some props, because he said it right. He said, listen, when I go to these folks' houses, I don't tell them that their kid is going to do well in school and get a degree. I tell them that I'm going to help your son get drafted in the NBA. Because if he gets drafted in the NBA, he'll make some money. He'll get a contract. If he don't get drafted down him, you know, who knows? But if he gets drafted, he'll get some money. You know, so I'm going to prepare your son to hopefully meet that challenge. But the bottom line is, all these cats make all this money, all of this money, and these young people don't get nothing. I think that's the next move that's going to happen, that these young people will eventually, you know, get some kind of pay, some kind of stipend, because you're talking about billions of dollars, Dr. Bridges, billions of dollars that exactly. The NC2L has.
When it starts, it's good. Like I say, it starts, you know, it starts the ball rolling, and other people are going to be doing the same thing in other sports. And what it's really doing is people are beginning to think. Mm-hmm. They're beginning to get their minds back and begin to look at this thing, because during plantation days, of course, and that's what athletes athletics really are, plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
During that time, that's right, but during the cotton fields and the tobacco fields and the sugar cane down in the islands and the indigo and rice and all those things, you know, we because of the force of the whip, we had to work and get nothing. And when you really compare what the athletes get, it's like you said, it's a lot of money. But when you compare that to what the owners and what the managers and those agents make to what the athletes get, it's the same as a plantation system, if you just look at it, you know, in that respect, you see?
Well, you know.
So it's no different.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at college athletics, now in the pros, we could talk about that as a different subject, but it's also too like a plantation situation where you know where you put on the auction block, where you go to Indianapolis and you see how high you can jump, how fast you can run, and how well you can catch, you know. But on a college level, them coming into there, it's the same thing in this recruitment. It's the same thing, but these folks don't get paid. See, and so that's why, to me, if there's more of them started to go to ACBUs and these ACBUs coaching gets better and then start to compete, you know, and they start
and
to get
more money into the school.
Exactly. That's right. You know, and once again, I think eventually, because you know, there's only a few people that that can take advantage of the image and likeness. I know some high school young people have signed contracts with maybe a local entity where they're you know, to do advertisement for them, or signings, autographs, all that kind of stuff. But to me, damn that. We're talking about we're talking about the overall problems that that happen within college athletics and the usury of it.
And the same way that we use our physical athletic ability to if we go back to the black colleges and universities, to uplift our schools and our programs and our communities, if we did the same thing on the mental level and using our brain power and gave it to ourselves, look how far we'd be as a people. And that's why they don't want us to do it, because we, as you said, in Kemet, we are the brain power of the world. We are the melanin. And they don't want us to know that. So that's why they'll tell LeBron James, shut up talking and just dribble the ball.
You know?
They don't want you to speak or speak out against anything, you see. And that's why Brother Harry Edwards always got a hard time when he was working with the black athletes, you know.
Yeah, from back in the 60s.
He's still around, too, Brother Harry. And, you know, and since we mentioned it, too, I always like to bring up Brother Jamil El-Amin, who is still incarcerated, as you well know. And when you look at those old photos or on YouTube and look at Harry Edwards, and he's at the table with Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown, standing right on that same photo is Brother H-Rap Brown, Jamil El-Amin, who is there. And because he's the person who actually initiated the, those boycotts and talked to Harry Edwards about what to do to take a stand, you see. So we oftentimes forget that, but that's something that we need to remember. And when Brother Mark moved back in the day before Colin Kaepernick, you know, would turn his back on the national anthem. See, that was being being done long before that with Harry Edwards. But Jamil El-Amin had a lot to do with that.
Right.
And that's why they don't want people like Jamil El-Amin to be around, or people like Brother Oshie to be on the air, or William Rogers or Bruce Bridges to be on the air. Because you're starting people to think. They might say, oh, I hadn't thought about that. We playing all these sports and we're not getting paid, but everybody else is getting paid. They don't want us, they have never wanted us to think. Keep the people's minds in total darkness. Never let them see the light.
Right, so they can manipulate you. So they can undermine you. So they can control you. You know,
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Don't let them think. Let them say Happy New Year and not really know whether or not December 31st is any different from January the 1st.
That's right, and it ain't.
You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that because I know we get hung up in these things. A lot of times we don't like to talk about it, and but we're trying to bring unity among our people, and we understand certain things. But, you know, we have to begin to think and question the system and say, well, why is this, you see? And they don't want us to ask questions.
Right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the African-American Empowerment Saturday, the program we're on Blog Talk Radio. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about I read Chapter 7 of the book, which was to me—
My book.
Yeah, of your book. And let's talk about that, you know, because that's the effects of the mind of destruction in the educational process, you know. So let's talk about that. You know, and anything else that we want to talk about, okay? Or anything else you listeners want to talk about. This is just a conversation, not just a conversation between me and Dr. Bruce Bridges. It's a conversation with us, and I hope you join us, okay? We'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
so many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together. Gonna polish up our act now. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. On Mondays, Black from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Kamban and Itaki Kamban. Followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking today with Brother Bruce Bridges. Dr. Bridges, how you doing? Do I have the right number?
I'm here.
Okay, all right then. Yeah.
Believe it or not, the reason I hesitated, okay. Brother Ocean, you see on my other phone. Oh, yeah, y'all tune in and go dial the number now. I got another brother. I was telling about your program.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Oh yeah. You know. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. So you got two more listeners right now.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I hope they continue to listen, man. I try my best to.
Yeah. That's what I was doing, brother.
Yeah. Right on.
Well, you mentioned that chapter 7.
Yes.
And I don't know where you want to go in that chapter, but yeah, we could talk about wherever the effects of this mind destruction among us as a people. I don't mind doing that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and one thing that it relates to, I just noticed here because I got my book with me too. Mm-hmm. On page 192, if you have your book with you.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I start off talking about what you said. Which we can tie right into these HBCUs on page 192,
mm-hmm,
Hampton
mm-hmm.
University.
Right.
I talk about Palmer Memorial Institute on page 195, and I talk about what these Negro universities have done.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one day, Brother Oshie, I got a good lecture that I prepared. I haven't done it anywhere yet on called the Architects of African-American Education and how white corporations and white philanthropists actually funneled money into these major black colleges
mm-hmm.
so that they could create Negroes to come out and work for them. But that's another subject. We could do that sometime. That would be a good program we could do on your program.
Let's do it. We'll find a way. Let's do it. I mean, because that's definitely what I want to talk about because –
because you made me think about it when you said these Negro colleges are just just models of European
right.
schools. That's all they are. And a lot of them came, as I say, on page 192 here, when I started talking about Hampton University,
mm-hmm.
Missionaries from the North with the backing of philanthropic foundations pumped money into Eurocentric education for the newly freed slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the bottom line was to train them, not really to educate them, but to train them to become the Negroes that they want them to be, those who will continue to support the overall system. They won't challenge it. You know, they in their educational process, it's not designed for them to think independently. What it's designed to do is to help them to maintain and sustain the privilege that Caucasians or white people have made for themselves. And the fact that we don't want you to come to our schools, and particularly then,
right,
you definitely would not want it then. You know,
we can train you to work for us. You can be in your own schools, but we can train you so that when you come out of your school,
mm-hmm.
you can work our system and to uplift our racist society.
Right. Right. And then, of course, with all those barriers that were broken down in the late 50s, 60s, and into the early 70s, then you could go to white schools. But the same thing was happening. You're just being trained. And, of course, if you got a degree from Indiana University as opposed to, Cheney State or something like that, your opportunity to be employed would be probably be greater, because their thinking is you have a better education because you went to
it could be, well, you didn't mean it, but it could be like an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
Or a major, like, uh-huh.
Right.
And see, I got a lot of information on those Ivy League schools, too, which we could do. And what really made me think about this, I was on, I was talking to Dr. Rogers, and he was saying that he was on a virtual call during the so-called holidays a couple of weeks mm-hmm. ago with some of the people he graduated from high school with. And this really took me aback. He said, and I noticed that they're still into the same things that they were in 40 years ago. They have not changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've not changed.
Well,
said
that's because of the that's because of their conditioning.
So he had to kind of tiptoe, in terms of what he was going to say, because they wouldn't have understood what he was talking about. Like he said, one lady was on the screen. They were doing it on Zoom. One lady was on the screen with a Santa Claus hat on, and that kind of thing. And
she's in the spirit.
They just have not grown from the point that they were in 1962 and 63. They're still the same today in 2022, you see. And knowledge and information is always evolving, always changing, always growing and progressing. And so, you know, we have to understand that.
It's like this, Doc. Dr. Bridges. The bottom line is, this is America. And America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And that's what was witnessed, and that's what's going to be talked about tomorrow from what happened last year. These mm-hmm. individuals are very violent prone. And in fact, what's interesting is they're talking about a civil war. If you're talking about these Caucasians mm-hmm. going into a civil war, I hope we, as African people here in this damn country, sit our ass down and watch the foolishness happen and not engage in this madness. Because if whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, they still abuse your ass. So it doesn't benefit us one bit or the other. In fact, what we should be doing is preparing ourselves. That's what I'm saying. This program is African-centered. This program is Pan-Africanism. This program believes in sovereignty. Independence.
I like the way you said, you always said in your beginning,
yes,
your opening statement, you said unapologetically.
Unapologetically black African. Unapologetically
right, right.
African. You know? Because the bottom line is that we, in order for us to be the people that we must be, and just like what you mentioned about Doc Rogers said in with his former schoolmates, we recognize what happened to them, and many of them have not stepped outside of those boundaries that those Europeans imposed on their minds. We understand that.
That's right.
You know, we understand that many of us don't elevate or have not elevated ourselves out of that, because the European has a vice grip on our minds. If you understand that, too, once the vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. There's a knob at the end of the handle. Turning that knob, that means it's symbolic of acquiring knowledge yourself. Turning that knob means that you are reading, recapturing the African mind, that you are reading African-centered books, that you are reading about us historically, culturally. And then now that knob continues to turn until finally it is released. And not that you challenge Caucasians. To hell with them. To hell with challenging white folks. But it's that you challenge each other to be the best that we can be, that you bring us, our community together, you bring our families together, that you recognize our connection with what's happening on the motherland and the resources that everybody wants, and how we need to work with brothers and sisters there to kick the Chinese out, to kick the Arabs out, to kick the Europeans out, to kick the Indians out, and control our land, to be players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. This is for our very future, our very survival. Because in the Europeans' world, you know, if we continue to let him dictate it, I believe it is ultimately our destruction, our death. So and so we have every right to be a self-determining people. We have every right to be independent, to be liberated, to be sovereign. We have every right, and we don't have to petition no damn body. Only thing we have to do is do it, is make up in our minds, is this is who we are, and this is what we're going to be. But I know, once again, the vice grip is serious, because in this day and age, you know, we are still trying our best to be the Negroes, you know, that these folks have made us out to be. And many of us are afraid. Many of us are afraid to venture out, huh?
Oh, I was about to say, relating just what you said right to my book on page 193, mm-hmm. Second paragraph there. Since historically black colleges are part and parcel of a system designed to perpetuate a labor market for America, it stands to reason that their founders were mindful of that objective. Mm-hmm. The curricula offered the students were not intended to make them become. I mean, the curriculum made us to become good little
That's
American
right.
boys and girls.
That's right.
That's
exactly.
It. And to be a part of the labor market for America in the same way that we were a part of the labor market on the plantations.
Mm-hmm.
They just upped it a little bit. That's all. And then pay us a little something and give us a job and allow us to get one of their degrees. But it's still we're still being prepared for the labor market of America like we've always done.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a lot of callers on. I hope some of these callers want to join this conversation with me and Roach Bridges. You can hit star twice for those who are on the queue already, or you can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a lot of 919s, Doc.
I told you, brother, I push your program, my man.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
And then let them know that they can tune in. They don't have to just listen while I'm on here today.
Right.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 1.
That's right. Dial in.
Okay.
This is your program, you know. This is definitely your program.
You want to take one of those calls?
Yes, please. 919-956. Is that you, Doc, 956?
That's me, yeah.
Okay, 919-768. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and good afternoon to you, Brother Bridges. How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Before I make my comment, I just wanted to ask you, Brother Oshie, personally, what the condition you're dealing with health-wise. Do you think your years as a firefighter have anything to do with that?
To some degree, because, you know, as a firefighter, particularly way back then, in the 70s and prior to that, many firefighters inhaled a lot of smokes, particularly after the fire. They didn't wear masks long, and the same was happening when I first came on the fire department. So there's no doubt about it. I inhaled a lot of toxins, you know, and especially the smoke since the advent of different types of materials, different types of foams and stuff like that, it gave off a lot of toxins. So, yeah, it to some degree, but basically what happened to me is a virus attacked my respiratory system, causing me to have pneumonia many, many times and even recent. So, but because, I mean, I went through I tried to go for duty disability, you know, because of this situation, knowing that firefighters have respiratory issues and have heart issues. Those are the two main things that affect firefighters because of the occupation and going to those environments. So, but I passed all those tests, and then the question became for me, because I was retiring anyway, do I want to be on duty disability with a nasal cannula in and having to report to the Milwaukee Fire Department, wherever I might move to, or do I want to be on pension and live my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, but, I, you know, so far I feel I'm recovering, you know, and I'm going to hope to continue to do that. And if it is that I got to wear a nasal cannula for the rest of my life, I'm going to do that, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever I have to do to live. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just wanted to say how important this program is, and Dr. Rogers and Brother Bruce's book.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we overlook the enormity of the problem that we're dealing with. If you go back to our original ancestors that was actually kidnapped mm-hmm. out of Africa and marched and put in a dungeon and in the bottom of a ship, the amount of fear, anxiety, loneliness, that more than a human's concept was designed to deal with.
Yeah. Yes.
That was enough to kill you
yes.
by itself.
Exactly. And considering we endured that, you know, I agree.
Yeah.
We endured that. Many of us.
You take that trauma and you put that on 25 generations of additional trauma. That never let up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like that as a person, we got a wound on every part of our body. That's what it's like. It's like you've been in an accident and every bone in your body is broken. But that's how much trauma we've had to deal with generation after generation after generation.
Yes.
And each generation passed that down genetically to the next generation.
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm.
So we actually carrying 25 generations in our DNA of all the trauma that we've endured. And now we expect it to function. If you have a car and a car is in a terror at 60 miles an hour and run into a brick wall, you can never fix that car back again. It will never run like it did originally.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But we trying to function like African people after 25 generations of abuse.
You're right. And it continues.
We need every bit of help we can get.
Yeah, and it continues. I mean, you know, there are some of us who have desperately reclaimed and recaptured and restored our African minds. But there are many of us, in fact, I would venture to say, unfortunately, most of us who have been so deeply inculcated, inculcationed, you know, that we don't even want to think about that. We don't even want to think about it. We don't want to even go there. You know, many of us, there are so many of our people that they don't want to be African. In fact, there are some people who claim to be indigenous to this country. You know, they want to be they don't want to have anything to do with being African, and not
That's
understanding
right.
the damage that Europeans have inflicted upon Africans, not just from the early times 400 or 500 years ago, but the last few hundred years of colonization. And which continues
like
today.
The analogy
which
I
continues
made to
today.
The car running into the brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have been repaired, and some of those cars are in the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's brother. That's brother Herbie calling in. Herbie
oh yeah,
White, brother Oshie.
Oh yeah, Herbie listens. He listens to the program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he's not new. That's
no,
right.
no, he's
okay,
not
yeah.
new. He's not new. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I got another brother on from New Bern, North Carolina, a 252, who texts me. He said, "Y'all get to me because I want to." He said, "Brother Herb." He didn't know Brother Herb's name. He said, "But the caller is talking about what we went through coming across on the slave ships, and that's what I'm." He's starting a program in New Bern, North Carolina. He wants to tell you about it.
Okay.
He's a 252. You got on there.
I got him right now. Okay.
Okay.
Caller 252. 252-4774. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you brothers doing up there, bro?
We're doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing just great, man. Good program, and I'm listening to you guys.
Well, thank you.
Intensely.
Thank you.
One of the main things I was listening to, it was brought out, was talking about the self-determination. And I think that's very prevalent into what we're having to do nowadays. Is
who do you try to live in it?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, brother?
I was talking about the self-determination.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's going on with us nationally and, you know, talking about what's going on from the grassroots level. We're having to talk about what's going on in our neighborhoods, on the political scene, and what's going on in our neighborhoods, talking about how we have to work together and develop what we have to do. Mm-hmm. With talking about the programs that we have to set up in our neighborhoods and what we have to do. I just left downtown dealing with talking with our city manager and one of the people that's running for our mayor. And I'm working with Dr. Bridges and about two or three other professors in that area up there in Durham, working with a mental health program that we're doing. But really, we're hiding out the politics of it. So we have to kind of think for ourselves and plan black agendas that are effective for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And think for ourselves and how we need to deal with how we can progress. And that's why I guess Dr. Bridges told you I'd like to talk about it.
Sure.
And listening to shows like this, we're developing concepts and ideals, especially from the historical point of view, listening at where we come from, how we got in the conditions that we are, and listening to you, brothers, like how you're talking, we develop new concepts of how to deal with these things, to deal with what we're doing nowadays. Like I said, I just came from in a meeting with the city manager and the guy that's running for office, and we were talking about how I'm dealing with this program. I'm dealing with a mental, physical, and spiritual program. It was, like I said, I was in this meeting with Dr. Bruce and these other professors just, about a week ago, Dr. Bruce? We were talking about how we are dealing with these, because, you know, when you're talking infrastructure, economics, health, and politics, these are all things that are health issues. But you can put it all together and you really deal with the institutions that are already in your community, because when you think about bad housing, that's health. When you talk about youth programs and lack of jobs and bad streets and how the police deal with you, all these are health issues. So believe it or not, we have been able to put the inner city programs that we have here and the committees and organizations that are right in our community, and we believe it or not, we have put together a black agenda that has become effective in our community, and for the 21st century, we see a way of developing it. But listening to you guys, and I'm going to cut this real short, listening to you guys and listening to all of your ideas and your expertise, it's inviting and enjoying to me, and I get so much out of it. So when I meet with these people, I go in there with an abundance of knowledge. And that's all I want to say, because I need to listen to you more so it makes me stronger. And I'm going to be listening each week to you. So keep on talking, brothers, and I just learn as I go. So
all right, I appreciate you.
That you let me talk, man.
All right.
So, hello to you, and keep on going.
Right on, my brother. I appreciate you calling. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So please call back again, dear brother. Constantly listen.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Well, send me some flyers about it so I can give to people in my neighborhood and these organizations that I deal with, and they pass them out, too, so others will listen, too, to me, if you would. Thanks a lot again, though.
All right, my brother. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other callers, if you want to jump in, I put you on mute. But if you want to unmute yourself, hit star twice. Hit star twice, and you can jump in the queue or just dial back. I want to get this unknown caller. Unknown caller.
Yes, Brother Ochi, can you hear me?
Hey, family, this is my good friend, Brother Paul, calling from the UK. He's calling from the United Kingdom. He's calling from across the pond. How you doing, dear brother? How you been, man?
Well, I'm alive, Baba Ochi, and if I'm alive, I'm better, I must do.
That's right. Exactly.
I was reading about you this morning, brother. I didn't know. I don't know you and never met you, and I don't think you've ever heard me on Brother Oshie's program, but I was reading about you just before I tuned in to Brother Oshie. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you what I was reading about you. What part of the UK are you in?
I'm in the east of London.
The east of London. What's the name of it? You're not in Hackney, are you?
I'm not too far from Hackney. I've spent time, and I used to live in Hackney. I know Hackney very well. Yeah, I know Hackney.
Right,
no, I'm not in Hackney, no.
And you knew Leonard Lewis, didn't you?
Well, I'm very familiar with Leonard Lewis, the boxer. You're talking about the boxer.
I didn't mean Leonard Lewis. I mean the brother who used to bring the cultural programs into Hackney. Leonard, maybe it's not Lewis. It's not Leonard Lewis. Oh, I can't think of his name, but he's deceased now. He's gone back to the ancestors. But he used to do cultural programs in Hackney.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I used to live in Hackney, so I'm very familiar with Hackney. I can't grab that mind to my attention, but I'm sure I do know him because I've been in the...
Have you been home to Scotland yet?
You're breaking up on me.
Breaking up, isn't it?
Paul, you're breaking up on me.
Hello? Can you hear me?
That sounds good. That sounds good, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I've never been to Scotland. I was reading about it, Brother Oshie.
That's another good lecture that I'm going to do on your program and also Brother Bill Rogers' program. I'm doing a lot of reading and studying because you reminded me again this morning of how history has been, and you always said, been distorted, omitted, and everything. This brother's down south of Scotland in London, close to London. But if you go up further to the north, we were the people who inhabited those areas and sat on the thrones as kings and queens. And even brothers like Brother Ranoko Rashidi, who has gone back to the ancestors, traveled around the world, and Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. If you think about it, there's very little research on that area, Ireland and Scotland, and those are our areas too. But I won't get into it now, but it's very, very interesting. So when I asked you, brother, had you been home to Scotland, I knew you wouldn't know what I was talking about because you don't hear much about Wales and Scotland and Ireland and black people in those areas from the very beginning.
Yeah, well, Brother Paul is
from Ireland.
Go ahead, Paul.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you bring this subject at the time you bring it. It's really, truly amazing. And I always say that. With this technology. Hello?
Okay, you sound a little better now.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, sorry. Right, yeah. You see, with this technology now, as you well know, I'm able to tune in at stations around the world, especially in America and other parts of the continent. So you get to, there's a bigger conversation going on. And I take a great interest in it because I like to hear what people got to say instead of, you know, I love reading books, but it's better, I think, to get it from the horse's mouth. So today, there was a girl we call Sister Shanice. She has a YouTube channel, Sister Shanice channel.
Yes.
She's in Gambia, but she did a program today, this morning, for 2 hours. Just dedicated to exactly what you're saying.
Can I pull that up on YouTube?
Well, she's got a YouTube channel, right? She has a YouTube Sister Shanice show, right?
Okay. So how do you spell her name?
Sister, Sister Shanice.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Shanice show. Right now, she was broadcasting from Gambia because she goes to Gambia a lot. She's Gambia and Zimbabwe a lot. But today, she was broadcasting from Gambia, and she done a program specifically on what you're talking about. She talked about the pigs.
I hope I can pull it up.
Listen. You could do one better. I tell you what, right? What you try and do, I haven't got her details to hand, but if you contact her, she'll get you on her show. She'll put you on her show. And you know, you could talk about that all day long because she would love that.
I'm
going to
pull up. And Brother Oshie, if I can't get it, you can tell me how to pull up, because you sound like you're familiar,
yeah,
with the Brother Oshie.
Oh, yeah.
Oshie.
I'm familiar with Sister Shanice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, good. I'll get it from you then. Yeah, because that's that they have, Brother Oshie, I'm telling you, brother, they have hidden us, hidden our history so much. When you go into these history classes and we hear about these King Edward and King King James and let me tell you something. These were people. They were our people, my brother. They have whitened the pictures and hidden them in museums.
Listen,
I've done a lot of research.
You know,
I don't want to get into it now.
Okay,
I'm just gonna hold off because
what's amazing is that you bring that up at this moment when like I say to you, she was talking about it for almost 2 hours today. But the point is this, you know what? And you basically confirmed the point before I rang up, which I always think we have to start realizing that we.
Oh, Brother Paul, you broke up on me.
We have to realize. Then you broke up.
Go ahead, Paul.
I'm saying the mere fact that you raised this point at this present time, and bearing in what I've just told you, is confirmation that we have to start working on a global and international and global front. We have to collect the mindset that we are not the people they tell us who we are. We're not the flags and colors which they give us. We are people of the universe, and you know, the fact that you just confirmed that to me, and just this morning I was listening to exactly, she's talking about Scotland, she's talking about King Edward, she's talking about all the things you've raised, tells me that the ancestors are working through us, and it's confirmation. Ooh. So when I rang this program, today, what I rang to say is this, you're talking about education earlier on, and I want you to understand this and appreciate this. The language you speak, and I want you to remember this, one of the war these people use to control our minds is language. And although we are stuck with this language and we speak it, some of us may speak other languages, a weapon of war. And some of these words we use, like education, right? We have a lot of educated people, but are they serving us? No, because the mere fact that they've been educated, as you rightfully say, to serve a system. Let's change that word to africated. Let's africate our people. So at the center of this so-called education, we have an African-centered worldview, and that's how we do it. We just change the words. We change the ideology. We change the way of thinking, because that's what they imposed on us, and that's why they imposed their language on us. And that's why we speak this language, because we speak this language, you think like them. We have ideologies like them. We can't do no better than them. So for the sake of argument, I'm just putting this forward. Let's change education to affrication. Let's africate our people. And amazing, like some of them, when they go to these universities, they might come back home and support us.
I say outstanding. Outstanding, Brother Paul. Outstanding.
I'm glad this brother called in.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, and then I don't want to take a program. The brother who speaks out in, what's his name, brother? Brother Leo Muhammad Leonard, are you familiar with him? He speaks out at the...
Absolutely. I know Leo Muhammad. He's part of the Nation of Islam. I know him well, Leo Muhammad.
He speaks
very well.
Where is it that he speaks in the park in London?
He used to, there's things on YouTube where he used to go to Hyde Park and speak out a lot.
That's
I don't
right.
think he does that
That's
so much now, but he's been on Sister Shanice's show. You can go on there and you can see him. He's on there.
Oh,
on
man,
there.
Okay. Brother Oshie, your poem has been a big education to me today.
Well, that's what we try to do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, man. It's put something on our minds. Broaden our soul, broaden our vision.
Can I just say this as well? I have to say this.
Go ahead, Paul.
You know, there are special people among us, yeah? You know, we are not all the same. There are some of us who just have this special ability, and Baba Oshie is one of them. Let me tell you why Baba Oshie is one of them. You know, since I've been falling into this program, this man, who is exactly the same age as my father, he's accommodated me. Not, you know, some of us, right, we have this prejudice, not just in America, right here in our own country. Sometimes when I phone in programs in this same country where I live in, they don't want to hear this shrimp. They don't want to hear it for whatever reason. They had this sort of prejudice built up in their mind. But Baba Oshie is not one of them. Baba Oshie, I can tell he's a strong type of person, strong-minded person. He's always given me the opportunity to speak, and I love him for that. Yeah, and this is what we need. We need those brothers who are strong. They don't get. They don't fear other lions. They let the lion in. Yeah, they don't back away because some of us are lions. And that's what we want to be. We don't want to be sheep. We want to be the lions.
I say.
So, Brother Ochi, I respect you for that, and I love you for that.
Brother Paul, the same here, and I can't wait till I get over my situation and we get over this pandemic or plandemic so I can come to visit you, man, in the UK. All right? All right, Brother Paul. I got another caller.
Well, you keep the fire burning. You keep the fire burning, and I just love to get you, you know, and every chance I get a time to call in, I'll call in.
Please
keep
do.
Keep the fire burning. Take care.
All right. Thank you,
brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. 646-646. 646.
ODO.
What's up, man?
ODO.
How you doing, Jay?
Brother.
I have a good
one. Oh, man. I'm hanging in there. You know it is what it is, brother. You know. The bottom line is, the hardest thing in the world is being African. You know, we could talk about a whole bunch of different things. But the reality is, when you take on the responsibility of being an African and understanding culture and all of the things that it takes upon us understanding our culture, moving ourselves forward, dealing with ourselves as a people. And on top of that, understanding white supremacy and then having to deal with what I call the multi phases of blackness, from the nigger, the negro, the negro peens. We just in a situation, man, where there's constant work that we have to do in order to evolve. And if we don't evolve as a people and keep growing, then we're just going to be in this sunken place that unfortunately we in as a people. And, you know, it's not getting no better on multiple levels. If anything, it's getting worse because of that Negro and that Negro peen unwillingness to become African and always looking to serve what is the best interest of the Yoruba. Until we can change that mindset, I think we're going to be in a situation to where those that are Africans are going to have to figure out how do we divorce ourselves from the mothers?
Well, you know what, Jay? I think that's why Dr. Bruce Bridges is on, because of his book, Recapturing the African Mind, and many other programs and entities and books and videos. It is about the mind. Right at this very moment, it is about reclaiming and capturing and restoring the African mind. That
exactly.
We can think, that we can think independently. We can think in a liberal fashion, and we strive for sovereignty. It's the African mind. We cannot do it here. We cannot do it in the land of an open and sworn enemy. Just like you said,
well,
there's a lot of Negroes. There's a lot of Negro peons here. There's a lot of people who love their Yorugu, who will do whatever they can to, you know, to maintain and sustain the position Yorugu has, and they want to do that because of the crumbs that they get. So they don't want to see us.
Yeah, but the thing is this, though. That's the dilemma that we face.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out, can we do it here? Should we do it here? Or should we go back home and try to do it? Now, there's multiple facets to this, because the challenges that we face here, we may face greater challenges back home because of the way that the oppressor
right.
has their minds. Maybe here we could do it if we come together as a collective, sit our behind down someplace and figure out how do we move forward instead of just picking up and going to a foreign place in a sense and trying to live a lifestyle that may be deemed more of a threat than, let's say, you know, let's say something like this. Let's say we go someplace like North Dakota, South Dakota. I'm just saying the place, so don't hold this to me.
Okay.
And let's say that we go to this place with like-minded individuals, and we set up community to where as we can sustain ourselves. Let's say that the people find something that may be the economic base so that everyone is able to sustain themselves. It may be technology, it may be something. And then in the process, we bring forward people that could do the necessary things.
Well, Jay, let me say it to you this way. You know, growth. Once again, Jay, you
That's
understand.
That's the direction
Jay,
we need to be looking
Jay,
at.
Jay, you know that we're in a land of open, sworn enemy. After our captivity, many brilliant men and women came together in spite of our captivity, in spite of our enslavement, came together, and we knew we had to do for ourselves. Many men and women who developed a community like Rosewood, developed Boley, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, even currently with the Haiti community in college, all those communities that were destroyed by these crackers.
Yes, but,
because
but
we live,
is,
because
that
we
can happen now, but we know enough of the history. We know enough to be able to hopefully protect ourselves. But the thing is, and let's be honest about this. What do you think will happen to us if we go back home?
Let me say this, Jay,
we will be more safe when they have a history of doing the same thing.
Let me say this to you. I'd rather for us to struggle there than to try and then to try to deal with it here. Because here it is not ours. There it is ours. We can appeal. Hold on, let me finish, Jay.
You didn't hear what I said.
No, I did hear what you said.
We need to go to a place to start the foundation to be able to go home and do the necessary things. It's totally different if you don't have a foundation to go back home and not be able to sustain yourself, brother. To just go back home.
Let me say this
and
to
not
you.
Be in the position to take care of yourself, that's madness.
Let me say this to you.
We have a better chance of putting together something to be able to sustain
home. No, Jay, I'm on this one, you are wrong. On this one, you're wrong.
Okay, but we disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
We disagree. Because the thing is this, though. You go into a place to where, as number one, you don't know the culture. You go in there to try and establish what it all boils down to is culture. Let's be clear on that.
And what it boils down to is that we're African. Culture. They're African, and we're African.
No, brother. You're wrong.
See?
You're wrong. You know why you're wrong? You know why you're wrong? I'll tell you why you're wrong. Because you got Africans in Africa, and we'll use a perfect example of South Africa, and what happened when the South Africans supposedly gained power, and the white man still control them and control everything. I'm saying we need to look at building something here and then being able to transfer it there with a sense of being able to sustain ourselves. You can't go no place and not be able to sustain yourself,
yes,
brother.
Brother, listen.
We have a better chance
okay.
of sustaining
I'm gonna tell you, Jay.
We do it out.
Jay, we're gonna continue this conversation off air.
Hey.
Okay. Whatever. All right, dear brother. We're gonna continue this conversation off air because.
Yeah.
602. Good afternoon. 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, brother Oshie.
Brother Marcus, how are you? How have you been?
Brother, just fight off the corona, the whole family.
Let's fight off Corona, my brother.
That's right.
We are here.
Yeah, we got to fight Corona. We got to.
Fight our
heart. I don't have much time, Brother Marcus. Go ahead. Make your point, because I got to get back to Dr. Bruce Bridges, because we got to close the show out soon. So go ahead, Brother Marcus.
You know, if there was any solution for black people here in America, we could have done it in 400 years. So 400 years is long enough to know that you're not going to build a black empire here in white America. And plus, you are depriving the red man of his territorial integrity.
Yes.
Because this is his land.
Yes.
Say, so how are you going to turn your back on 12 million square miles of land and claiming the territorial integrity of this red man? No, no, GA, I do agree with you. The only solution is your return to the motherland, where you can have some control over the Negro peon. You don't have no control over this Negro peon here. He will sell you out in a heartbeat. Anyway, good brother. Take care.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. I appreciate you, man. Always listening. Appreciate that. Dr. Bruce Bridges, I only have a few more minutes. I want to give you all of this time and talk about the Blog Talk Radio program, the African-American Empowerment Saturday, what you're going to be talking about and what with Brother Marvin. That's going to be at 2 p.m., brothers and sisters. 2
good point.
P.m.
I'm
Eastern.
Glad you said that, yes, to all your listeners, on this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll be beginning a review of my book called Recapturing the African Mind. And that particular interview will take us through chapter one of the book, and also we're going to monthly, I'm going to come back again probably during the month and discuss chapter two until we go through the whole book, because this brother, like you, Brother Oshie, realizes the importance of us getting our minds back. So we're going to offer some solutions as we try to recapture our African minds. And to some of those on your program who are listening and want to tune in Saturday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, they can dial 845-277-9250. I'll repeat that. They can dial 845-277-9250 at 2 o'clock, and we'll be on from 2 o'clock until 3:30. The program was going to be an hour, but Brother Marvin, who is the host of the program, says that it's going to take us a little longer, so that we can have time for question and answers. I'm going to lecture and discuss and be interviewed by him for the first hour, and then we're going to open up the classroom for questions for all our students who are tuned in. And to some of your listeners, Brother Oshie, who might want to get a copy of my book so that they can read along with us and study with us, then they can dial me at area code 919-956-5972. Again, 919-956-5972 to purchase a copy of my book, Recapturing the African Mind. And we're going to talk about the African mind and how, as the brother from the UK said, how we need to become acquainted with the world and what's going on in the world, and recognize that there's more to this whole world than Alabama and Mississippi and North Carolina and Wisconsin and these other states in the United States, and to get our minds to go back. Right. That's what we do. We need to get our minds to get out of this country first. Let's get our minds out of here first so that we can realize what has happened to us. And I think that's what the problem is that you and the brother was having. Our minds we got to understand that there's more to the world than these 50 states over here in the United States of America. The earth belongs to the black man. He doesn't just have to stay in one particular part of the world or to just be familiar with what's going on here on the West Coast to the East Coast, but we have to understand the whole world view. And that's what we're going to try to do on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Well, you know, as you can see, we have a brother that called from the UK. So this
That's why it was good to hear from him because, you know, and I want to talk to him too. That's what, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because when we hang up off the program, I want to talk to you for a minute.
Sure.
I'd like to get in touch. Yeah. But anyway, 2 o'clock this coming Saturday, 845-277-9250. I'll be reviewing my book, Recapturing the African Mind.
Well, you know, there's a number of programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, a number of programs that we on Blog Talk Radio. All of these programs, dear brothers and sisters, are to help free your African mind. These programs are to help you understand the dilemmas, the things that we're involved in, the things that we need to be involved in, and to help us reach another level of a consciousness and awareness, you know, of who we as a people historically, who we are as a people, you know, and so I look forward to having conversation with you again, Doc. I know it's been a long time, you know, so I definitely look forward to,
No question.
You know, getting you back on to talk more about.
I definitely want to come back. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this opportunity. Once again, on Friday, I'm going to have a guest, and my guest will be Brother Muhammad Abdullah. Muhammad Abdullah has been a guest on this program a number of times, and he is a Sunni Muslim, but who has been involved in the Nation of Islam and various other things that he's been involved in. So we always have a spirit.
I'd like to hear him. I gotta hear him.
Oh,
okay.
Believe me, you should. This brother is deep. He's good. He is very good. So, you know, and we talk a lot of stuff. We talk a lot of stuff. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate it for all those who called. And all you brothers and sisters who have called from the Durham, North Carolina area, thank you for calling. Once again, keep this number. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you are truly welcomed here. If you just want to listen, that's cool. But if you want to participate, that's great, you know. But I appreciate that, Doc Bridges, that you've done that. I appreciate that. And
I'm going to always do it, Brother Ocean. Wherever there's water for my thirsty people to drink, I'm going to show them the way to the fountain.
Right on, my brother. All right. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.
And I'm still on too, Brother Ocean.
Okay.